Shalom, Havarim. Hello, friends. Really glad that worked for me this morning. I was having so much trouble. My computer decides, you know, it's Christmas Eve. What do we do? A forced update on all our software. So, yes, I got here, turned on my computer, and it said, now installing update one of, like, 5,727. You have 7 hours remaining. And now all I have to do is find my little cursor and advance this. You know what? You can only ask for so much. There we go. All right. I hope everybody's having a good Christmas. It is far from a normal one for me, but we are here, and we are all ready to just together take a deep breath and let it out. Relax and enjoy the holiday season. I am so ready for this. But you know that there's so many things going on. So many people are so busy. Even Santa Claus, I'm told, is very busy today. Did you read the local paper? The Stanton News Leader had this article. I guess Santa Claus was seen at the local Walmart just yesterday, I guess it was. He showed up, and you know, Santa doesn't usually buy his gifts. He has these elves. They do the work for him. But he showed up. He had his reindeer there, but he didn't have his normal reindeer. He had some unknown and probably unproven reindeer. And he didn't just have the normal 8 or 9. He had 22 reindeer. So, you know, Santa Claus doesn't usually deal in money. He doesn't know the ways of our world real well. And somebody went to him and asked him some questions. And Santa kind of was left with some questions himself. And they said, well, Santa, what's going on here? And Santa said, there's something that I just can't make. Even my elves can't make it. So I decided I have to go here and buy it. And they said, okay, well, what's the deal with all the reindeer? And Santa said, well, I heard that this thing that I'm going to buy would cost $20. And just in case, I brought some extra dough. I'm just glad my computer worked this morning. You can boo all you want. So Santa Claus, whatever. We know there was a real St. Nicholas. And one day I think I'm going to spend, probably next year before Christmas, I just want to take a Sunday and talk about the real St. Nicholas. Because you know this, right? There was a real person named St. Nicholas. Nicholas of Myra, which is a territory which is now in modern-day Turkey. And Nicholas is an interesting fellow. He lived in the 4th century. He was a bishop of Myra, part of the church, and he was actually a part of the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea met in the year 325 to discuss the nature of Jesus Christ. Was he human? Was he God? They came out with this confusing idea that he was 100% both. Mathematicians will tell you that doesn't work, but you know what? With God, all things are possible. So St. Nicholas is there. He's arguing for the full divinity of Jesus. And he's very adamant about this. He's very passionate about the divinity of Jesus. He believed Jesus was fully God. But on the other side of the debate, there was this guy called Arius. And Arius was just as adamant about his belief that Jesus was fully human. Now, this story may be somewhat apocryphal. There's not a lot of corroborating evidence, but it's kind of a neat story anyways. So during the debate, Arius would get very long-winded. He would just keep going and going and going. And at one point, Nicholas got up, tired of hearing Arius babble on about the humanity of Jesus. And according to this story, he went straight up to the man and punched him in the face. There's another version of the story, and I like this one even better. This version of the story says, while Arius was talking, Nicholas got up, walked over, took off his sandal, and slapped him across the face as he was talking. My friends, this is the guy who comes down your chimney at midnight on the 24th of December. So, all I'm saying is hide your sandals if you've got them. Okay, so that story, it's kind of funny, but it's probably not true. There are some really good, true stories about Nicholas. Nicholas is said to have bought 3 different women out of prostitution. They had a history, they had a trajectory they were going down. They were going to be a part of a brothel for the rest of their lives. Nicholas made a donation, bought them out of the brothel, and gave them their freedom. Nicholas bartered with a large shipping company who was going to send food away from their territory so that they would be able to purchase that food at a cheaper price to feed the poor in his region. And of course, Nicholas is known because he would go around from city to city, town to town, and he would give gifts to underprivileged children.
So it's really not a surprise how we come to this understanding today, this modern conception of Saint Nicholas, who goes around, and I don't know where the chimney thing came from. It's just the most accessible thing in your house. Close your dampers. It saves on heating bills. But this guy that would come down the chimney and give gifts to the kids, I understand where that comes from. But I just want to ask you this question here this morning. Is Christmas about giving and receiving gifts? Well, yeah, actually it is. It is about giving and receiving gifts. And think about all the things that Christmas is. Yesterday, I gathered with my in-laws, with Sonia's family, took our children, we sat there for a long time, all day long. They spent the night, and we're going to spend more time with them again today. And then tomorrow we're going to leave for Ohio, and we're going to spend time with my family. And we're going to hear the same stories, and we're still going to poke fun at each other. We're going to laugh at bad jokes, and we're going to eat way too much. We're going to enjoy the food that my mother makes and refuses to let anybody else help with. We're going to have all this time together with family. But is Christmas about spending time with family? Well, yes it is. And every year, you know, just down the road here, a couple of blocks, we have the Valley Mission. And I'm told that every year from Thanksgiving until after Christmas, after New Year's, you can't sign up to take food to the mission. Especially you can't sign up on the weekends. You know why? Because everybody has signed up to bring food to the missions. There is a waiting list to serve the poor and hungry among us. I'm even told, and someone can correct me if this is wrong, I'm told that they get so many gifts at Christmas time, sometimes they stockpile them for later. Because there's only so many gifts you can give a kid that doesn't have a home because they just have to carry them around wherever they go. So they save them. And then in January, there's other kids that come in. They didn't get any gifts. They've got some on the shelves. So is Christmas about helping the poor, helping the hungry, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked? Is it about that? Yes, it's about that. And we can go through all these things that occupy our time during this time of year. We go to Christmas pageants and plays. We drink eggnog. We watch movies like It's a Wonderful Life and How the Grinch Stole Christmas and Die Hard, that Christmas classic. These things... Die Hard is a Christmas classic, yeah. There's actually, I think, three. And I don't know. That's not the point. There's many that we could watch. My point is Christmas about all these things? And my answer is yes. But, and this is a really big but, it's about a lot more than that. And all of these things that Christmas is about, they stem out of something else. There's something that is in the center of Christmas, and these other things radiate out of them. And of course, I'm talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. So when I say, is Christmas about giving presents? Well, of course Christmas is about giving presents. And it's not because some guy who may or may not... Oh, I want to go back to this one. I like this one. Here's a picture of St. Nicholas. It says, I came to give presents to kids and to punch heretics. And I just ran out of presents. It's always funny because I am like a very nonviolent pacifist person. So I still find humor in this. Anyways, the reason that we give presents isn't because some guy named Nicholas gave presents to kids all these years ago. We give presents because about 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus received presents. He received gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I know that today we get way too caught up in gift giving. Yes, consumerism runs rampant. Too many people are buying things they don't need with money they don't have. And we can get spoiled. Absolutely, we have gone too far. But, you know, how can we make it Christmas again? I think about ways that we can do this and kind of reclaim this tradition. You know, what if you gave your kids frankincense this year for Christmas? How Christmas, you know, Emmy, for you, some frankincense. Woohoo! No. Actually, a really good idea I heard recently, and I wish we would have implemented this with my family. I heard a pastor say, you know, Jesus got three presents for Christmas, and it's probably not right that we get more presents than the birthday boy. Is Christmas about giving presents? Yes. But that radiates out of the central thing that is the birth of Jesus. So I want to look at these verses that Linus recited for us so well. And of course, Linus is reading straight from the King James version. But I'm going to read from the NIV here this morning. So we're going to start with verse 11. It's verse 10. The angel of the Lord appears. And he comes to these shepherds, and they're watching their sheep by night. You know the story. And this is what the angel says in verse 10. He says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Let's break that down a little bit. The first thing he says, do not be afraid. Now, I really like the Charlie Brown Christmas. It's one of my favorite Christmas cartoons. I think it's because I connect well with some of the characters. Let's be honest, Charlie Brown's kind of a loser, and he can never do things just right. And especially as I lose my hair a little bit more every year, I'm feeling more and more connected to Charlie Brown. Lucy is always out there giving her pop psychology answers. She's probably not qualified to give the life advice that she's giving, but she does anyways. I can connect with that. Linus, I get Linus. Linus is a scaredy cat. Linus always has what with him? His security blanket, his blankie. He carries it with him at all times. Next time you watch a Charlie Brown's Christmas, notice as Linus is reciting this passage from memory, when he says these words, "Do not be afraid," he drops his security blanket. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but he does. And it's almost like he's saying, this is the thing that's given me so much comfort for so long, but now I'm going to find my comfort in the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the one born on Christmas Day. Tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy, oh, tidings of... Sorry, got a little distracted. Do not be afraid. The next section, I bring you good news. Good news, that is the Greek word euangelion. And euangelion is often translated as gospel. The angel simply says, I bring you the gospel. And a euangelion, that was a tract that was actually passed around from person to person, city to city, announcing the birth of the child of Caesar. Whenever a king was born, they would send a euangelion. Here, I've got something for you. What is this? It's a euangelion. Pass it on. Tell her what it is. It's a euangelion. It's actually a bulletin, but use your imagination. This is the way the euangelion, the good news, was passed on from person to person, the good news. And what is the angel saying? I bring you good news. And look at the next line. It will cause great joy for just the Jews. No, it'll cause good joy for the Gentiles who have gone through the practice of circumcision. Now, what's it say? Says, I will bring great joy for all the people. Period. Full stop. You can stop spreading the good news for now, Mike. I'm actually going to need that back later. Great joy for all the people. The angel goes on in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I want to look at some of those nouns. He is what? He is the Savior. Because in this one born in Bethlehem, we find grace and forgiveness in Him and Him alone. He is the Messiah. And we sometimes confuse some of these words. We use them as synonyms, but they're not. The Messiah is the anointed one. This is the chosen one. God has chosen this one from long ago. This is the one that the prophets had prophesied about. Even the apostles are starting to realize who this guy was, God's chosen one. And He is Lord, the one who has given power and authority over all the earth. So if I'm going to paraphrase this angel of the Lord, this is how I would say it. Fear not. I bring you good news. The gospel, in fact. There is reason for all people to celebrate. That reason is the birth of the one filled with grace, love, and forgiveness. He is God's chosen one, filled with power and authority. Christmas is about presents. Christmas is about spending time with family. Christmas is about doing good deeds or practicing goodwill to all men, peace on earth. It is all those things. So if somebody says, Christmas is about this, say, yes, you're right. But don't ever forget that these things radiate out of what is the center. The birth of Jesus is the reason we celebrate Christmas. This is why we are here today. And I want to take it one step further. And I want to say everything in this world, anything that has reason, anything that has purpose, well, that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about everything that is good. Christmas is about everything that is lovely. Christmas is about everything that is wise, about everything that lifts up the downtrodden, about everything that brings hope to the hopeless, about everything that brings healing to the broken. Christmas is about all these things because it is in Christmas, in the birth of Christ, that all these things are given meaning. Because 2,000 and some years ago, two unmarried, poor, run-of-the-mill people made a trip to Bethlehem. And when they arrived there, there was no room at the inn. And she was so pregnant, filled with the Holy Spirit, but filled with a baby as well. And when this child was born, they laid him in a manger like this. My friends, this event changed the world. And this event is the reason for Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is the birth of Jesus. And everything else comes from that. So what I want to do now is I want to invite Glenn and Sandy to come back up. And they're going to lead us in our closing song today. And I want somebody, if you can go back and let the nursery folks know, I want them to come in too for this closing song. And I'm going to have the closing song, which is Silent Night, up here on the screen. And often whenever we have a New Year or a Christmas Eve service, we close with candlelight. And because it's kind of overcast and cloudy today, I think it'd be appropriate to do it again today. Because 2,000 and some years ago, the light of the world came into this world. And now it's our chance to share the light, the euangelion, with all people. So, I invite you to take a candle out of this basket. Pass it back to the back of the congregation. And we will go around and light them and form a circle around the church if you can. Loving God, as we go from this place, we will surely be involved in many things. We will open presents and give presents. We will spend time with family, friends, and loved ones. And Lord, hopefully we will help those who are less fortunate than we are. And all these things, Lord, they are a part of Christmas. But may we always remember that they stem from the center of what is the real meaning of Christmas, the birth of your Son. As we go from this place, may we be the euangelion. May we be the good news. May we share this light with each person we come in contact with. And Lord, may we do so with joy, compassion, and love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.